darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. And those of you who are watching on NRB TV or the podcast listeners, live radio listeners, thank you all for tuning into the program. I'm elated to be with you this evening. So you say there's a debate tonight, eh? Just a little bit something going on. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. I'm host of the program. I'm joined by the Corner Contingent, as usual. Right across from me, my man 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. Though he is relocated away from Virginia, he is celebrating Winsome Sears' announcement that she's running for governor there. Oh, yeah, she's running for governor in the state of Virginia. And we have in the screening room producer extraordinaire, often imitated, but never, ever, ever duplicated. Not successfully, of course. The real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to make your transition with intentionality. Before there was ever a modern iteration of civil government, before the installation of the order of priests, prophets, before any of those other human institutions, the first institution ordained by God was the family, with marriage at the center. And I know when you hear me say, wait a minute, income generating is a part-time job. Yes, I know the lexicon our culture uses, but I want to encourage you to recalibrate that, to understand we all have responsibilities, we have duties, we have bills, we have families to provide for, but that is not synonymous with our identities, which is why I describe it as our part-time jobs. Our full-time jobs are outcome cultivation. We must remember that we will never be able to out-politic. We'll never even be able to out-church deficiencies in the home. Too many times and in too many circumstances, we welcome the world's efforts to pull and push and pull and push and pull and push, and we developed kind of a practical hierarchy of investment. I'm not saying we sit down and think, you know, the most important thing in my life is this. But practically what we do, we view often things that transpire outside of our homes as if they are the ultimate investments. And I simply want to encourage you to recognize that that's false. You have the opportunity to shape destinies, to build this nation, to literally address eternal matters starting right in your own home. So as you are making your transition, I know a lot of you right now are in your cars, you're driving, you're going to different places. Let today be the day. If you hadn't done it before, let today be the day where you make it your business to transform your home into an altar of worship for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let today be the day to where you lift up the name of Jesus, you lead your families in worship, you open the Lord's word. It doesn't have to be a long, it doesn't have to be a liturgical event where you have incense burning and candles and crackling in the background. No, you can take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, sing a hymn together, read the Lord's word together, pray together. But to make that a regular feature of your day, if not the central feature of your day, so that it is normalized in your home to worship the Lord. In fact, when you gather with the Lord's saints, on the Lord's Day for worship, it really should be a gathering for people to do together what we have been doing all week before we've gathered together. So as you're making your way home, let today be the day that you begin this enterprise. And if you have been doing this for quite some time, do not become weary in well-doing. You will find your family, your children will tell you, you know, I'm really grateful that my father was intentional about gathering us around the table and opening up the word of God. I learned to pray at home. I learned to trust God at home. This should be our legacy. This should be our testimony. Praise God. Now, we'll begin the program as we do on a regular basis, but I'm excited, y'all. Got to excuse me. I have two of my favorites in studio with me. I didn't know they were going to be here this early, but I won't tell you who they are just yet because I want you to wait around for it. But before we get to that, we begin the program as we do every day by turning to the word of God. You know, a lot of times, you find the world attempting to offer solutions to problems the Lord has already given us solutions to. You know, there's a prevalent field. Actually, I have a minor in psychology, so I know a little bit about this. There's a popular notion of mental health issues and mental health things. But what you'll find most of the time, I can't say conclusively every single time. But usually when people have issues with mental fixations of various sorts, it begins by focusing on a lie. Unsurprisingly, the Word of God has already given us the antidote, given us the prescription before there was a disease. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to begin the program today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, very, very simply, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I think sometimes we read too quickly to really allow the gravity of the Lord's Word to come to bear on us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the passage begins, and as I start reading, some of you are going to start quoting it, but it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Dwell on these things. Now, it's important for us to remember, man, the Word of God is so rich. This is one of the epistles the Apostle Paul penned while he is incarcerated in Rome. I love how this epistle concludes, and epistle is just a fancy word that means letter. When Paul says, "The saints of the Lord Jesus' household greets you, including those among Caesar's household," he could only articulate those words because what may seem to us as a horrendous circumstance, Paul viewed it as a gospel imperative in operation, to where it was through his incarceration that he got to proclaim the gospel within Caesar's household. So he was able to make that statement as a result of what the world may say, man, that's horrible circumstances. But Paul knew he was on mission. But then he includes this epistle to the church at Philippi, which is the first church on the European aspects of the continent. You may recall Acts chapter 16 talks a little bit about that. But Paul begins this portion of scripture that I read by saying, "Be anxious for nothing." Now, why do you think Paul would say that by the Spirit of God? He's writing to Christians in Philippi. Why would he communicate to believers, "Be anxious for nothing"? Because God is wise. He knows that though we are believers, many of us, and those of you who are not believers are tuning in to the program, you look at the things that are happening around you, you recognize the uncertainty of environmental circumstances, it truly is an incentive for you to recognize, first of all, that the Word of God is true. But second of all, to find safety, salvage, respite in the eternal King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why would the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, communicate to believers, "Be anxious for nothing"? Because he knows that though we're in Christ, we have the propensity, the tendency to embrace anxiety of various sorts. Being believers does not exempt us from navigating life as human beings. But here's the glorious difference. We don't have to navigate life as human beings out of covenantal relationship with God. We can do life in Christ. The Lord said through the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, "Do not sorrow as those with no hope." Yeah, we sorrow, but our sorrow doesn't have the same anchor nor the same export as those who have no hope. Here, the Lord is saying to believers, because he knows we also face the temptations to be anxious for anxiety. And then the Lord provides the antidote. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." And the Greek word for everything there is everything. "By prayer and supplication, but with thanksgiving." Now, how can you be thankful while you're praying? How can you be thankful while you're supplicating? Because the thanksgiving is not based on your circumstance or even the request. The thanksgiving is based upon the one to whom the requests are being made, the one whom you are conferring with. That is how you can be thankful. But I want to focus on verse 8. I'm talking about all these other portions of the text, but verse 8 is what I really want to focus on, because this speaks to a kingdom citizen opportunity exclusively. When Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, he said to the believers, "Set your affections." The Greek word for affections there is phroneo, which means the seat of intellectual reasoning and emotive capacity. Set your affections. If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll recognize that you've heard me say numerous times, God has given us emotions, but he has not given us emotions for them to be our leaders. Emotions are horrible leaders, but they're tremendous followers. Horrible generals, but tremendous foot soldiers. And as believers, we have the opportunity for the first time in our existence, being in Christ, to now tell our emotions what they are to do, what role they are to play, where they are to sit on the bus of our lives. This is where you sit. Set your affections. The Lord says this through the Apostle Paul, leading to the conclusion of this discourse. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, think on these things. Whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever is honorable, think on these things. Whatever is right, think on these things. Much of the problems that arise, and I know it's a popular phrase, our mental health, because many people allow themselves to feast on, to feed on, and to fixate on lies. And we don't often recognize it because the lies take root and then the emotions swirl around. And so the emotions erupt and almost engulf what the root may be, and you're downstream not even recognizing, man, why am I feeling this way? Why am I thinking this way? Not recognizing that there was a seed of a lie that was planted, and you allowed that lie to germinate. You allowed that lie to take a little bit of root. You allowed that lie to begin to sprout and grow leaves. But we don't recognize God has already told us. Lies we should not allow to take root in our minds and our hearts. What are we to dwell on with our intellectual capacity? What are we to dwell on with our emotive capacity? Where are we to direct our emotions? We should direct our minds and our emotions to what is true. Whatever is right, whatever is honorable. So when various stimuli of some sorts come your way, when suggestions come your way, the first thing we should do is assess them by the Spirit of God. Wait a minute. Well, now what you say? I had to summon old Otis, you know, from what you say that part? What you say that part? Oh, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. Bobby, you see that? He tried to throw a lie in my direction. Man, I'm Sean Kemp. I only slam dunk good alley-oops. I ain't catching those wild passes. You throw a lie my way, call me Neo in the Matrix. Dodge. Whatever is true is where I'm going to direct my mind. Whatever is honorable is where I'm going to direct my emotions. Whatever is right, whatever is worthy of praise. Do you realize when you give attention and time to notions, to ideas, that is a manner, a way that you could be directing praise in that trajectory? No, that's not where we are to be. We have the wherewithal as believers to say, wait a minute. And this is why it's such a fanciful lie for the world that never wants to quote scripture until they quote this out of context. Judge not. You know, if they're from the 17th ward, they might say, judge not. Judge not. No. Believers have a duty to judge. Psalm 1, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1 is showing how believers can be blessed. In order to be blessed, one of the first things we have to do is identify what is and what is not godly. And if something is ungodly, the Lord commands us not to walk in that counsel. Guess what you've just done when you obey that text? You have judged. The scripture commands us simply to judge rightly. That's all. And to make sure that the judgment that we apply externally is the same metric we apply internally. We don't have a sliding scale. I won't apply to Jeff a standard of living that I don't apply to me. I don't look at myself and go, I give myself a pass, but then I look at Jeff. Jeff, your eyebrows are sideways, man. That's a 45-degree angle. Doesn't belong there. No, that I have the same metric of evaluation that I apply to myself as I apply to others. That judgment is not only something we do for external facing situations, we apply the same thing internally. So when notions arise, stimuli arise, suggestions arise, thoughts arise, the first thing we should do, wait a minute, is that true? Is that true? I told you guys before, one time there was a lady who called into the show, and I thought she was calling to come on the air because I was taking callers that day. But she didn't want to come on the air. She just wanted to tell the brethren in the screening room, that old Abraham, all he does on the air is lie. He is just lying. And I want to have a dialogue with her on the way. Can you show me what you're talking about? Well, of course. No, she didn't want to have the dialogue on the air because she may not have liked what I said, but what I said wasn't a lie. So I had the opportunity in that moment to see, wait a minute, am I going to let this? Am I saying that? No, she's not telling the truth. So I'm not going to allow that suggestion to take root. Again, Neo in the Matrix, I'm going to move on to the next thing. And we, in terms of having mental acuity, fortification in our thought life, we have a mechanism to do so when we direct our minds as an exponent of our worship-filled devotion and commitment. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure. What about that one? Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The Lord empowers us by His grace through His word to win in our minds. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I am excited to have in studio, I said it already, two of my favorites. To my right, I have none other than our brother Rick Green, known nationally as America's Constitution Coach. He's a former Texas state representative. Sorry about that.
Don't hold that against me now.
National speaker, author, and radio host. You can hear him here on the American Family Radio Network, hosting AFA at the Core. I don't know your schedule, though. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yeah. All right. He's the founder.
They let some guy named Walker Wildman do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I don't know who that guy is.
I don't know either. Maybe did he have an ID?
We card him every time.
Rick is the founder and chairman of Patriot Academy, an elite leadership training program raising up a new generation of world-changing champions of liberty. Now, I have another guest, but I'll wait to give her a proper introduction because I'm going to start with Rick. And I want to begin the program with just inviting Rick to share a bit about Patriot Academy. What is Patriot Academy?
First of all, man, that opening was fire.
Oh.
I mean, The Matrix, Otis, Philippians, all in one segment. I mean, Hamilton Corner's always better than Hamilton the Musical. I'm just saying. But I do have to say, I wish I could articulate like you did at the very beginning. I've always said it in my country bumpkin way that even though it's important what's happening at the White House and the State House, it's not near as important as what's happening at your house. And that's essentially what you were saying.
Yes.
You know, we get all just spun up over everything that's happening, and we should be engaged. We should be righteously angry. But we forget the most important. Are we discipling those kids and grandkids at home? Are we actually perpetuating this value system? Anyway, it was just so good, man. Thank you.
No, you're absolutely right because, oh, man, you got me going already. the advance, I'll use the football analogy. You know, the moving the ball down the field, so to speak, with the regressive, intentional Marxist overthrow of the United States of America is only as effective as a populace is ignorant to allow it to transpire.
Exactly.
You know,
right, man.
The ever-larging augmentation of the Leviathan state only occurs with a corresponding ignorance of the American populace.
That's the petri dish where bad government grows.
It does.
Civic and biblical ignorance. And if you let that happen, then the virus of bad government grows, as we've seen happening. I love your language too. I mean, even I said this to a group the other night that we welcomed them when we were doing this dinner, and I started with, "We're doing all these things to stop the global communist revolution." And I said, "Depending on how that phrase sat with you, will tell you whether or not the next hour is going to be miserable or you're going to join our cause." You know, I mean, because if you recognize what's actually happening, then you gave me a softball to give a commercial for Patriot Academy, and I missed it, but I'll do it real quick. You know, we're basically a 24-year organization that is designed to help citizens equip and inspire them to live out their liberty. So we do constitution classes. We teach youth how to be leaders in whatever arena they're going to be called to, whatever God's brought them into, whether it's business or politics, entertainment, journalism, whatever it might be. And so we're really about getting back to the founding principles and those basic ideas of limited government, individual liberties, free enterprise, and timeless truths.
You know, it's amazing that you're saying that because I'm just – there's so many thoughts going through my mind. A lot of people don't even realize the connection between adherence to a biblical worldview and maintaining this experiment in individual liberty that is our constitutional republic. Yeah. I don't think people understand that. Like, the notion of the social contract comes out of the Mayflower Compact,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
The ideas about individual liberty are related to the Protestant revelations concerning the individual's capacity to read, learn, and discern the will of God through Scripture.
Amen.
Like, we don't recognize the connection between those two ideas,
yeah.
which is why, you know, George Washington writes in his farewell address, religion and morality are indispensable supports. So you
in
cannot—
In vain would that man—
Claim the virtue of patriotism
I'm
who would work to
you,
subvert
brother,
either
you
of
are,
them.
This is it. I just this last weekend, we were in Colorado, and David Barton was doing a presentation on Tale of Two Cities, and he was showing the difference between Jamestown and what the Pilgrims did. So in 1619, you've got a professing Christian group that doesn't actually follow the Bible, and mm-hmm. then in 1620, you get the Pilgrims, who mm-hmm. are actually biblical Christians, and as they're trying socialism and then reading the Bible and going, wait a minute, this socialism thing is not— what the Bible describes. So mm-hmm. they went from socialism and starving to death mm-hmm. To actually being blessed whenever they went to capitalism and private property. And anyway, he went through the trajectory difference of having the Bible as the foundation and how that equals liberty versus without the Bible and not following biblical principles leads to slavery. So it is exactly the linchpin that is missing from our culture. So these people that say they want freedom, they want prosperity, they want due process, they want all of these things, they have to understand where it actually comes from. And that's why even people like Elon Musk are now calling themselves cultural Christians, because yeah. they're recognizing, as Ben Franklin did, that the result, you Christians, boy, you sure make good neighbors. Mm. And so they're recognizing the need for that in the culture. I'm hoping there's an awakening on that right now.
Mm. Well said. It's a host of people claiming cultural Christianity, and yet people who are, let's just say, wisdom chases them, but they've always been much faster. like Richard Dawkins would say, well, I love the cathedrals and the Christmas bells and things, but don't tell me anything about Jesus. It's so ludicrous. It's like, man,
give me the results,
down.
But I don't want the formula itself. Yeah.
It's like, I use an analogy as a plumber. I want the running water.
Right. That's good.
But, forget the pipes and stuff.
That's
we don't need the pipes
good,
and
man.
Stuff.
I'm
I want
stealing
the water
that.
To run.
I'm using you know? That. I'll
use
give
away.
You credit the first time. That's it.
use
mine.
Away. All right. You are here, AFA at home. You are participating in a wonderful episode I'm looking forward to. What is AFA at home?
Well, we just had a great discussion around the table, around the Knights of the Round Table is what it felt like, because you had all – I was just – actually humbled at the great minds that were seated around me. I tried to stay quiet, but you know me, Abe, I couldn't do it. But it was really just, okay, where are we? How did we get into this mess? And what's going to happen in a few weeks in November? And what can we likely expect depending on who wins the election? And so a lot of what we talked about is actually what you were just describing, and that is, okay, why do we want to elect people that will bring back these biblical principles? And what do we need to do in Washington, D.C.? As you and I have talked about before, we've got to return to federalism. We've got to get the feds out of a lot of these things in our lives. And to do that, we have to understand how a constitutional republic works. So even down to the basics of democracy versus a constitutional republic, mm-hmm. and then also talking for Christians to actually look at this election not as a Trump versus Harris, but a value system, a value system and a worldview and a 9,000 appointment army that's going to go into Washington, D.C. What's it going to look like? Is it going to be one that restores liberty, or is it going to be one that takes away liberty? Because people get caught up in the personalities, and we forget that we're actually voting for policies, mm-hmm. not just a personality.
You know, it's interesting that just before the debate is tonight between Kamala Harris and President Trump, and miraculously, policies appeared on Kamala Harris's campaign website. But it's being reported that they kind of copied and pasted from Joe Biden's 2020 campaign website, because the metadata is clear, has the markings from Joe Biden's 2020 website, even to the place of having tags on the website initially that said, give here to get Joe reelected.
Oh, wow.
yeah. What would you—
But it's a new way forward, Abe. Come on now.
It's a new way forward.
I don't know who's been in charge for the last 4 years.
Pay no attention to the vice president's mansion. Pay no attention to it.
Yeah.
New way forward.
That's
pay no attention to it.
That's right.
What should people listen for? Some of the things they should listen for tonight if they tune into the debate. And I know some of the audience here is going to say, Abe, that's what we have you for. You're going to listen to the debate and come tell us what happened, because we don't want to do so. But for those who are listening, what are some of the things that they should listen for to illustrate for them or to drive home for them the divergence in values as they consider how they will engage civically this fall?
Well, normally a debate of this magnitude, one debate for the presidential nominees would have a huge, huge impact on the election. I think it's going to be a nothing burger, honestly, because I think ABC is going to do everything they can to cover up her left-wing, actual positions and what she really believes. And if she can stand the whole time and keep from doing a word salad over the 90 minutes, which would be a miracle, but the expectations are so low for her. And you know how debates are. It's all an expectations game. And the expectations are so low for her. I think if she gets a couple of her memorized sound bites in, that's what we'll see for the next 2 weeks on the reporting of the debate. And if Donald Trump, makes any mistake at all, that's what we'll see the whole time. So I think if you can at least glean a little bit of actual policy, if he can make her, even though he's not supposed to actually ask her questions, I think he has to be masterful about his statements leading to questions that if she doesn't respond to it is left in the voter's mind. If he can do that on some of the major issues like the border policies and the transgenderism and how bad her vice presidential choice is, I think people can see a difference. If that doesn't happen and it's just kind of a tit for tat, I think there probably won't be really a winner or loser tonight. It won't be like the Biden-Trump debate from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I really just think that debate really was just a revelation of who many of us who have been following this, who have known Mr. Biden to be all the way back in January when he's inaugurated.
Right.
It's not like all of a sudden he can't put a sentence together. It's kind of been that way for a while now, folks.
Yeah, no, I had to eat a little bit of crow because now I did say there's no way he'll be the nominee in November. I said that 4 years ago, so I knew he wasn't going to be the nominee, but I didn't think he'd last a year. So I had to eat some crow on that. The fact that they were able to do the Weekend at Bernie's routine for 3.5 years was pretty impressive, unfortunately for the country, but they pulled it off.
Yeah, and the thing that's galling to me is it seems that there's a collective yawn in our body politic. And similar to you, Bobby can tell you, I said it 4 years ago, he wouldn't be the nominee. It was just plain. But the fact that we have a person who has publicly expressed an inability to campaign for the presidency, yet we have a societal collective yawn considering the fact that who is running the country now?
Yeah, yeah.
That to me, is an egregious indictment on both the American Pravda reporting apparatus, but also the American body politic. What there should be a bit more, shall I say, consternation displayed.
Absolutely,
at the fact that you can't run for the presidency, so how can you be the president right now?
Right, and how can she not have to answer the question? Why did you tell the world that he was perfectly fine? Right,
The
very same, even on the Pravda part that you're talking about, even the very same media that was saying how perfectly fine he was, how quickly they switched when it was on display for the world during the debate, and yet then it went silent. And the idea that they're not yet invoking the 25th Amendment, I guess it's just – I actually thought – I mean, again, I've been wrong so many times, I guess. I thought for sure they would do that so that she could look presidential by being in the position and so that she could be guaranteed to be, number 47. But I guess they're too afraid that she will look foolish at some point in that process. She'll be forced to do media interviews, forced to actually, be president, which would look bad for her, assuming her performance would be lousy.
It is not only not to be asked a question, like in the curated propaganda piece done by CNN in the interview between her and her emotional support governor, she was
the 18 of the 45 minutes that we actually got to see.
And you really can't say what was the order of the interview because it was cut and paste. But she was asked by Dana Bash and specifically stated before the question, you were the most aggressive directing this question to Kamala Harris. You were the most aggressive in saying that Joseph Robinette Biden was fine. Do you regret saying that to him, to the American people? She said no.
Right.
She said no. And so what is the most obvious follow-up question to that in the world? Well, if he's fine and you don't regret that he's fine and telling everybody he's fine, why are you running now?
Wait, what do those words mean? Follow-up question? What is that?
Yeah.
Do they still do that?
I don't know if you've just come from Venezuela and you flew from Aurora, Colorado, but in English, it means, yeah. And nobody asks any questions, and everybody is fine with that.
I think, though, the good thing is everybody's not fine with it. Average Joe out there, maybe. But those who are intellectually honest are done. That's why RFK came over, right? When you watch his interviews and he talks about, there literally was a switch that flipped in him whenever he realized the nominee for a major party in the United States is unwilling to do interviews, is unwilling to go out and be an actual candidate, and I cannot stand by and let this happen. Mm-hmm. And he is definitely not alone. I mean, we see so many people coming our way because of that. So I do think there's major consequences for them doing this, whether or not they pull it off. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's their game, right? If we can pull this off and then have the levers of power at that point, we shut down free speech even more, and the tyrannical, you know, move, the moves come even faster. But I'm hoping enough people are going, this just, man, this just doesn't smell right all the way.
And not only does it not smell right, the things that are concerning me about this, and I truly, truly, truly pray that it's concerning more of the American populace, because when you have the combination of things, you know, with this overwhelming amount of information, one of the major purposes of having an inundation of information, regardless of its merit, you know, some of the stuff is silly. You know, some of the stuff is substantive, but having so much, it keeps people distracted.
And, yeah.
You know, we often talk about attention spans with children, but adults have the same problem with attention spans. But when you see the coalescing of events, so Joseph Robinette can't run for president, but he is the Oval Office occupant. His vice president is running for president, but she's incapable of talking to the American people through interviews. And so what's revealed is that the reason why there's no need for a functional president or a functional candidate for the office is that the apparatus is created a self-existing mechanism.
Yeah.
So we have an unaccountable, shadow-functioning leadership.
Yeah. Not just a Manchurian candidate. We have a Manchurian White House.
Yes.
The entire thing. Yeah.
And understanding that, well, Congress has not been functional for quite some time. We're being governed by an unelected, unaccountable set of bureaucratic entities.
That's right.
And these things are just on autopilot.
Yeah.
No matter who's the figurehead, they are continuing to advance.
Yeah.
It should be alarming.
A lot of it's so hard to believe. The coping mechanism is to check out and
yes.
not be a part of it, right? So it's like we're seeing things right now on our watch, in our generation, that we never thought would happen in America. And people have to realize it is actually happening, and you do have to start paying attention and do something about it.
My last question, because I'm running out of time.
Yes, sir.
And I'm pretty sure I didn't tell you about this question beforehand. So if I need to give more detail, I will. But I'm pretty sure you've been following Arizona's efforts to pass election integrity measures.
Yeah.
And they passed a law that had two very simple components of it. That if you're going to register to vote in the state of Arizona, you have to prove U.S. citizenship.
Imagine
what
that.
An idea.
Yeah, right.
Second component, if you're going to cast an absentee ballot in the state, you have to show proof of citizenship. One part was upheld by the Supreme Court. The other was not. What does that say about our country?
Oh, man.
30 seconds.
Oh, that we're broken. It is truly broken. And that's why we have to repair the breach. It's a monumental effort, but we will not give up. We will not step out. We will not curl up in the fetal position. We're going to pick up the pieces and rebuild.
Thank you so much, America's hey, Constitution
always
Coach.
Good to see you, brother.
Episode 6, AFA at Home. Our brother Rick Green is going to be there, and my next guest will be there. When is this episode going to be available on AFA Stream?
October 17th.
October 17th.
Sandy says 17th. I'm going with it.
October 17th.
They have to change it if it wasn't already the 17th.
October 17th. I got it right here. 6 p.m. It will be available. AFA Stream. Open your account. You guys know we've been having issues with YouTube. That's why we created AFA Stream, so that they cannot cancel us. As much as they try, they won't be able to do so successfully. You don't want to miss the rest of the show.
Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 8 direct us to display scripture in our homes and other places. It says you should decorate with the word of God and that you are to fill your hearts and minds with these words. There's no greater cause than for those of us who know Christ to share him and God's word.
Get the full article, God's Word on Display by Joseph Parker on thestand.net and join the movement to put God's word on display at 10laws.us.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I am joined in the studio now by another one of my favorites, dynamic radio host, former longtime Fox News contributor, former host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here in American Family Radio, current host of Sandy Rios 24/7, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts, including on the AFR's podcast network. My guest now is the inestimable, irreplaceable Sandy Rios.
Thank you, Abe. That's so sweet, you know. It's really sweet. It's great to be with you. I've missed you.
It's great to be with you.
And by the way, you look so handsome.
Well,
you have a camera, though, right?
Yeah.
It sure is beautiful. I'm not used to that. Oh.
No, you're good. See, there you are right there. You're on right now.
Oh, I'm on. Okay. I should have fixed my makeup. You know, I won't be on camera on podcast, and I didn't on the morning show either because I'm a girl, you know? It's such a pain. And I like to be, you know, pull my hair and scratch and get mad and put a pencil by my, you know, and I, you know, it doesn't play well on camera. So
wait a minute. You said something that unfortunately in this day and age has become a provocative notion. You said you're a girl.
I'm a
girl. Can you define that for us here?
No, I have to look it up. I have to make sure. What did remember Kamala, that what she introduced herself at these events as, I'm Kamala Harris and my pronouns are, I don't know what she'd say, he, she, they, whatever she said. She went through the whole mantra.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, this is like, you know, the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
I mean, Alice in Wonderland and just all the ridiculous, but. So I don't know what pronouns are, but I am a girl.
Yes.
And I'm a she. Well, and a her.
Well, I'm grateful that you have clarity.
And married to a man who's a man.
Well, you know, that's provocative too.
I mean, I know.
You know.
But we've always been you know, what is that? That this, there come a time when telling the truth would be an act of
bravery.
Bravery, yeah. It's a great quote.
Yeah, so you're here, similar to our brother Rick. You are a part of AFA at Home, episode 6.
Yes.
That'll be available on October 17th. You all were discussing. I was not a part of that. I missed that. I'm sorry.
No, we missed you.
But you guys are discussing this. The best way, let me say it. My grandma said you don't have nothing nice to say. Don't say nothing at all. This unusual election season. Yep. You have been on the front lines for quite some time. You have been a part of battles in D.C. You have been AFA's woman on the street, so to speak, for governmental affairs. You are our government affairs director for a number of years. What do you see presented to the American people in light of the choice we are being forced to make between the divergent views of President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris?
Well, there couldn't be more of a difference, really. It's like so stark. It's a hurtling off the cliff, and just a reasonable worldview. I think President Trump really, in many ways, is more conservative and actually does conservative things more than any other conservative president I've ever seen. And in spite of the fact that I'm still not sure if he's a Christian. I don't. Mm-hmm. He doesn't claim it. I do think when he got shot, there was a change in him. I sense a change now, but I'm not ever going to say. He certainly hasn't been, and when he wasn't, he was championing freedom of speech, freedom of speech, our right to worship the way we wanted to, and he defended churches, life, and all of that. So, mm-hmm. And Kamala Harris, you know, really hates life. I have to tell you, she believes in abortion for all 9 months. When she was attorney general in California, that's when the Planned Parenthood videos were leaked by James O'Keefe. Mm-hmm. And David DeLeiden. Yeah, and David DeLeiden was in California. Mm-hmm. And so they broke into his house. Mm-hmm. They took all of his devices. Mm-hmm. They confiscated all of his tapes because he had more that were even worse. We saw some of them where they were talking about speculating buying a Lamborghini with the money they would get from selling baby body parts,
yes.
You know, eyes, brains. It's horrific. Okay, so what does Kamala do? They break in. Then she fines David hundreds of thousands of dollars and charges him with a number of felonies. He's been in court ever since that broke.
Yeah.
So that's Kamala Harris. She got an award from Planned Parenthood for all her fine work.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about, as opposed to President Trump, who appointed pro-life judges and Roe versus Wade was overturned. That's simplistic, but I'm just telling you that's the contrast.
Mm.
So, and of course, Abe, I could go on and on. I mean, if you want to know the contrast, there is so much at stake. I know that Christians, and there's nothing wrong with this, but we think of our role in politics in these moral issues. We have a kind of a little box that we do. It's abortion or the homosexuality. It used to be that. Now it's transgenderism and homosexuality too. God hasn't, changed his mind.
Mm.
But on that issue, Kamala Harris believes that taxpayer dollars should fund transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants coming across the border.
Yes.
Tim Walz made Minnesota a sanctuary state for transgenders.
And specifically for minors.
For minors.
For minors to get treatment without their parents' notification.
Yes. And
refusing to notify them.
And part of that part of his initiative was to take custody or the government to take custody of kids in Minnesota whose parents did not want them to have whatever counseling, hormone treatment, and probably the surgery itself. So taking away parental rights on that. I mean, okay, so there's the moral issues. But, Abe, there's so much more. I mean, you know, I always say that the Bible says that if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. Well, that's an infidel is what the Muslims hate. It's kind of a term that is old King James, but it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like you're an outcast. So we have families like you've got a Hamilton family, and boy, do you have a family. You've got the cutest kids in the world. And I know there are other Hamiltons that brother, I don't know who you have brothers and sisters, but you have a big family.
Yeah, if we visit your church, we'll definitely increase your church role, your church population by at least 10%.
And you love your family and you take care of them. But America is also our family. It's our extended family. We are neighbors. We live together. We send our kids to the schools. They play together. It's where we work. We are a family. And it doesn't matter about race or anything, or even religion. We are an American family. And so where in Scripture could you ever justify that you would not love and care for your family, even if they don't have the same last name as you have? And so I just think we're talking about, first of all, an invasion right now. And to be really specific, you know, if you had someone that was trying to break into your house, Abe, I know what you'd you don't have to tell me. I'm sure you've got a way. There's no way. It'll be over your dead body that they will hurt your children. Okay, so here we have our American family. And Bruce and I were in San Diego about a month ago, and there were Chinese, single Chinese men, military age, taking boats, in boats, ramming up on the shore, climbing up an embankment straight up, it's a neighborhood. You see in the video I saw a woman pushing her baby in a buggy. It's a neighborhood with houses. And they're running, and black SUVs are picking them up. They're loading them up and taking them off. We estimate that there are tens of thousands. There is a quantifying number on that my military friends have told me, but it's like tens of thousands of military men from China in this country. What are they doing?
Yeah.
I wonder if they just want, are they coming for, you know, Social Security? I don't think so. None of us think so.
Yeah.
And then we have jihadis coming across the border. We have Hamas telling us they're going to do here what they did in Israel. So if you are not concerned about that, then don't vote or vote for Kamala, because they're fine with that. There's no way they're going to close that border. I don't care what she says. Remember Bernie Sanders, as you said earlier, said in a speech that, she's saying now she wants the wall. She hates the wall. There's video clip after video clip of her calling that
she called it Trump's medieval vanity project.
Exactly. And worse. And she just said that, you know, mocked him. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly she's saying, now that we're, a month out? 2 months, I guess.
Well, early voting is already starting in some states, so we're here.
But remember, Bernie said she hasn't changed her values.
Yes.
So,
and he says she's being pragmatic and doing what she needs to do to get elected.
So she wants an open border. She's still the vice president, even though that just doesn't even seem like she is, does it, Abe? I mean, she has that title, but what the heck is she doing? Nothing. We talked about that. Yeah. So we've got the national security. We also have the economy. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, the jobs report just came out. The end of last week, I think it was. And it's American-born people. Their job numbers went down like 1.2 million, something like that. And illegal immigrants gained like almost 2 million jobs. And the Biden administration, the Harris, whoever they are, administration, now is, you know, they're boasting that the job numbers are up, but they're not up for American-born citizens. Mm-hmm. And so this I ask people. What are your kids going to do for jobs? The manufacturing is gone. Small businesses are closing. Restaurants are closing. There are no jobs. There's no professions. I know lots of people that are very qualified that can't find professional work. Now, there's a sector. A lot of people can't. They've got a niche. But what's the future for your kids? When Kamala Harris says that she's for the middle class, that's an abject lie. I could tell you right now that communist, and she is from a communist background. Her parents where her father's a communist, and she's from that background.
Now, a lot of people don't know her father, Mr. Harris, is a Marxist economics professor. They try to call her the girl from Oakland, but frankly, he's a Jamaican Marxist economics professor. Her mom is Indian. She lived in and went to school in Berkeley, then lived in Canada. She lived in Canada. She never really lived in Oakland. So it really goes from Berkeley to Canada to Howard University back to San Francisco. Yes.
Yeah, so, and there's a lot of connections, other like brother-in-laws and all this stuff with Marxism. But my point is that with Marxism, one of the chief goals of the Marxists is to destroy the middle class. Why would they do that? Because the middle class is us. You know, we're the ones who go to church. We pay our tithe. We support conservative organizations like AFA. We fight. We have enough resources that we can act on our principles. The poor people can't. The rich don't want to.
Yeah.
And that's why they're after us.
It's a touchstone repeat of Marxism, because decimation of middle class is prescribed because you have to crush any modicum of independence.
That's right. Or opposition.
Yes. And it will only come from a broad middle class, because the elite are very narrow minority. Oh. And so those who are deprived of resources sufficiently to be able to assert any level of independence, then they serve no opposition either. And so you're able to advance your will unimpeded.
So you're facing an issue of potentially losing your children unless you allow them to have transgender surgeries, or if you refuse to use pronouns in some states and around the world now. Some people are being jailed for that and then put in prison. Britain's terrible right now. Scotland is too. But this is what we're facing here in some states here. Do you want that life? Your children, you're going to lose control of your children, and you will lose your resources. And pastors, your pews are filled with middle-class people for the most part, and they're going to hit so hard. Your budget's going to go down, and you're not going to have a future as a church. You're going to have to let go staff. I know I'm not really saying anything outrageous. You have to just think this through. Mm-hmm. As some of you don't want to get involved for various reasons, but you are actually setting about the destruction of your own congregation. Now, that's not a reason to vote, but I'm just telling you, these are the realities. If I can't wake you up with these moral issues, then this is what I need to say to you. You're not going to have a salary. You're not going to have a staff. You're not going to have a church building.
Yeah, it is a consistent Marxist refrain, regardless of what the discipline and industry may be, because you see, like with climate alarmism, the prescriptions in terms of what needs to be done are the same as economic Marxists, it seems, right? The refrain is, you will own nothing.
And you'll like it.
And you're like, you will own nothing. You know, these ideas about eating bugs and getting rid of meat and these other kind of things, these are not just fanciful ideas. There are people who are literally articulating that as a prospective future for people governed by these types of policies.
Yes, and they're not going to be eating bugs.
Oh,
trust
no.
me. It's like, it reminds me of Kim Jong-un. I was in North Korea in 2001, and they were flying in incredible luxury food for him. He lived in a palace. They built a gambling casino for him. He was living in the lap of luxury. The people were starving. There was cannibalism. And this is what happens. It happened to Stalin in Russia. He killed millions of his own people. This was Mao in China, who starved millions of his people. If you think it's going to be any different for us, you just don't understand history or what's happening here. So we have to vote. We can't stop this. And I want to say one more thing. Remember that the disciples voted for the disciple to replace Judas. They prayed and then they voted. But they voted. They voted. Ask God to give them the best candidate to be the disciple. So there's nothing wrong with voting. It's a responsibility. Mm. So let's do it, okay?
Sandy Rios, ladies and gentlemen, 24/7. Sandy Rios, 24/7. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can hear Sandy on demand. Whenever you want to, you can hear her. Episode 6 for AFA at Home will be available October 17th on AFA Stream. Get your account. You can get a free account, where you can become an AFA Stream participant or become a Great Commission partner to get the full library of all AFA at Home episodes. Sandy, it's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Abe. Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.